Many people can describe me and my colleagues as activist lawyers, but I believe there is, like, I don't believe the other way around, you know. I think the others should describe themselves as commercial lawyers.
Hello, and welcome to today's episode of VC Mitellini. My name is Toby, and the topic today is repression against lawyers in Turkey. And for this purpose, I spoke to lawyers from mainly two organizations, the Progressive Lawyers Association and the Lawyers for Freedom organization. In order to understand these groups and the subsequent repression, I spoke with three lawyers from Turkey, of which two, Ceren and Fatih, are members of the Progressive Lawyers Association.
I am Ceren Uysal. I am a lawyer from Turkey. Currently, I am living in Vienna, and I am an executive board member of the Progressive Lawyers Association, which was banned during the state of emergency.
Yeah, my name is Fatih. I'm from Turkey, and I'm a lawyer in Turkey, in Istanbul. I'm practicing my opposition. And I'm working for an NGO in Istanbul for providing to legal service to all the journalists oppressed ones. And also I'm a member of Progressive Lawyers Association in Turkey from 2020.
And the third, Fatma, is part of Lawyers for Freedom, which was also banned in Turkey for some time.
Yes, I'm Fatma, and I live in Izmir since 2012, and I'm practicing lawyer almost 14 years in Turkey. Mostly I have criminal cases.
Introducing the Progressive Lawyers Association and its work are Ceren, followed by Fatih.
We are kind of lawyers who are coming to represent you in the courthouse, but if something happens to you which is not according to the law, then we are the lawyers who will first try to challenge it legally, and if it doesn't work, then we will start demonstrating for you, and then we will start to do whatever we can do. It's not something that, you know, we say, hey, it should be done like this, but it is an obligation in Turkey, because when, like, you know, things are changing, when you want to submit a petition to the prosecutor, and if there is a police barricade there, and if the police doesn't let you to do your job, then you have to find a way to submit this petition. And if it is necessary, then you will start a fight there because the legal mechanism is not functioning. So this is how we understand it, and we always say that we are not only representing our clients inside the courthouses, but also streets and everywhere, like these are our working areas.
Our association provides free legal support to all oppressed people in Turkey. The groups that receive legal assistance from us, the members of the CHEHADE, and mostly workers, women, LGBTI people, and immigrants and students.
Also, Fatma told me about Lawyers for Freedom.
Yeah, you ask what is OHT or Lawyers Association of Lawyers for Freedom. We protect the rights of oppressed people. Mostly they are parliament members of HDP and the rights of marginalized people, and we work for equality of the people. Our most clients consist of from Kurdish people as well.
Both organizations take on cases that could be considered political, and especially so by the Turkish state. One such case was the Soma mining disaster that the Progressive Lawyers Association took on.
The Soma in 2013, in Soma mine, it's very close to Izmir, the small city, mining city, 301 miners dead because of this some guys who has this company because they didn't do anything to getting better conditions for the miners, and more than 300 people died.
As mentioned before, both these groups suffer a lot of repression at the hands of the Turkish authorities because of the nature of their work. And in the next segment, we will examine why.
As lawyers who are members of association, we are constantly targeted by government many times because of our cases. Because there are hard cases, there are political cases, and always the state wants to stop some voices in Turkey, and we are the lawyers of these people, these opponent people, and that's why they are targeted us.
And we know that it's mostly about the way how we are practicing our profession, and we also know that this is about our focus points, because from the beginning we are one of the main organizations in Turkey who are supporting the oppressed people, Kurdish people, LGBTQ communities, and also women who are subjected to domestic violence, and anybody in Turkey who are tortured or killed by the police or other state officials, etc. And we always try to find creative ways of doing this, because in countries like Turkey, the practice of law is not quite similar how it's happening in Western Europe or in the US, etc.
In addition, Fatma explains why she thinks Lawyers for Freedom is suffering repression at the hands of the Turkish state.
A lot of our friends, they were detained and they were sent to the prison because of their job. They work as a lawyer, but they defend oppressed people, Kurdish people, or the governments who call them terrorist people. They defend them because of the government says that, no, you have to do own work what I want.
While preparing the interviews, I soon came to understand that if I wanted to get a grip on the full scope of the repression, I had to go back some 12 years to the Gezi Park protests that started in Istanbul but soon spread all over Turkey.
Yes, it was, I think Gezi Park is it started a fire on Turkey Democratic Public. A demonstration, so we can call Gezi Parkı, yes, people, they want their environment, they want, they defend ecology, so they don't want to cut their trees by the government, so they make a demonstration.
In 2013, a watershed event in the history of the country took place. In Istanbul, the city wanted to cut the trees in Gezi Park. Many people did not agree with this and started a protest against it. Soon, however, the protest against the cutting of the trees turned into something else altogether.
Before the Gezi protests, in Turkey, we had a very, very nervous situation. Like everybody, every single person was angry in a way.
Thousands of people gathered and remained there. As the protest grew in scope, it became a general indictment of the Turkish government. But in time, the repression of the authorities also increased. First Fatma and afterwards Fatih will give some insight into this increased repression.
After this, in 2013, for example, they were a lot of bombing against peace rallies or democratic peoples. For example, in Ankara in 2015, 101 people died in Ankara car bombing, so it was largest mass killing in the Turkey's history. And then we know that the peace negotiation with Kurds were ceased, and curfews continued for months in the Kurdistan cities, as you know, and the cities were emptied and a lot of people killed, and also civilian people, Kurdish people killed.
I can say that everything actually, as a politically, started to change after the Gezi uprising, because It was horrible for the Erdogan regime, nightmare for him. And then he started to create a really brutal atmosphere in politics, in legal system, judiciary, and the regime getting more autocratic, I can say, after that.
After that came the 2016 coup. On the 15th of July 2016, a fraction of the Turkish army tried to take control of the government. This fraction, which was later linked by the authorities to religious leader Fethullah Gulen, attacked multiple government buildings. Over 300 people were killed during the event. They did not manage to take control, and subsequently the Turkish authorities started a wave of repression against all those it deemed quote-unquote Gulenist, including many leftists. For example, the Lawyers for Freedom organization that Fatma works for was banned not long after the coup happened.
Actually, we banned after the Islamic coup during the 2016 until 2019. And during these 3 years, we work as a platform, OHD, like platform, but then we apply for get our status as legal, like associations.
Fatih and Fatma both had more to say about the more general repression that followed after.
For example, I was in uni between 2014 and 18. The first 2 years, 14 and 15, was okay. We made many protests against the regime, against the dean of the faculty and rector of the university. But after that, with the Islamic Gulen movement unsuccessful coup attempt in 2016, the government used this very well against all the leftists, all the socialists, all the student movements.
A lot of teachers or writers, they arrested and they sent to the prison, like Selahattin Demirtas is as well our members, for example. He was a political leader in HDP, and even and now, for example, he is in prison to practicing political rights or political activities, still in prison for 7 years. I think it doesn't change in our works, but the government, you know, that during the 3 years, every organization banned. For example, I can give you some information maybe on during for these 3 years after the curfew. There was a lot of oppression on media. For example, legally, we can, when you check from Google, you can find that 45 newspapers were banned, and for example 16 TV channels were banned because of after the curfew, and 16 magazines they were banned, 3 news agency were banned, 23 radio station banned as well. And also, it's a very interesting thing that the only Kurdish language TV channel for children, as amongst them, Zarok TV, we called Zarok TV, even this TV channel were banned after the curfew of the, 2016 coup. So it was not legal, we know, but every NGOs or association, they rebuilt after the curfew.
We were banned before the arrestments, and the harassment followed it. And the first day when we were banned, you know, the officers came and they sealed our doors, headquarters doors. What we did was breaking the seal. We took a photo, we published it on the social media, and we said that we do not need doors, walls, etc. We are here, we are doing our work.
Now that we have more of an idea what the context and the origin of the repression is that's been taking place in Turkey over the last 12 years, we will take a closer look at the specific effects on this leveled against the Progressive Lawyers Association. For this, we will again listen to Ceren, who's been working with the association for many years and has been exiled from Turkey for her activities.
For the Gezi protests, there was a mass police operation against my association. And it started at 5 in the morning, and they raided a lot of houses and offices of my colleagues, including our head office and Istanbul branch. And of course, you know, they got a lot of documents from our associations, which were letters that we received from political prisoners or our banners, etc., or some reports that we published, but there was nothing concerning the criminal law, I should say. And then they started to spread some lies around. And the funny fact is, you know, at the time our president was in another country, I don't remember the country, but like he was there to join a meeting on behalf of the association. And we thought that, you know, he should come back immediately, because even though we knew that there was a warrant search about him and also arrest decision, we thought that it's better for him to come back, because, you know, then this will be a counter argument. And we published his flight tickets info and time and everything, you know, everything was public.
So he was outside of the country at the time when it was announced that he was being charged, and he chose to come back. And you, so he/you published even his flight information, mm-hmm. So the authorities knew he was on the way back and he was not at risk of flight.
Yeah, and they knew it very well. They just welcomed him at the airport, and like 6-8 police officers just, you know, like arrested him and they tortured him. And then the judge in charge at the time decided to send him to prison with the reason of the judge decided that the person can escape. So this is
a flight risk.
Yes, this is the legal situation that we are dealing with. Anyway, like at the time, 13 lawyers were in prison for 15 months, and afterwards they were released, and this case file was finalized very soon. And unfortunately, with the same accusations in 2017, after our association was banned, another police operation happened, and like this time we have 22 people who were in prison. Now the number is 10, because some of them had already finished their sentences. And for our president and some other colleagues, this time the duration of the sentences is around 19 years. And they are under pre-trial detention since 2017.
And how many people are this?
Currently, 10 people are in prison. But in total, in this case, we had 22 lawyers on trial.
And they're in prison just for being lawyers in this organization?
Yes.
Up to 20 members of the Progressive Lawyers Association were arrested, and many of them reported being subjected to torture and other degrading treatment whilst inside prison. Ceren will explain us about a fact-finding mission conducted by lawyers from outside of Turkey that went to investigate these accusations.
In November 2023, we had a fact-finding mission in Turkey, and the focus was the prison conditions of imprisoned lawyers, and also the delegation could have the chance to observe two separate trials against two different lawyers. One was in prison at the time, and we were lucky that she was released, and the other case is going on like since years. And the report of this fact-finding mission will be published soon in English, and I think it has quite significant findings about torture and the health conditions inside the prison and isolation and other fair trial violations.
Fatih continues to explain more.
And now in Turkey, I think more than 15, maybe more than 20 lawyers in jail because of their professional and the political activities. For example, our chairperson of association, Progressive Lawyer Association, Selçuk Kozaçlı, and many of his colleagues and comrades have been imprisoned in 2017, and they are still in jail. After the 8 years, they are still there because of their political and lawyer activities.
After the initial arrests, the trial started. The process of these trials is explained to us by Ceren.
As we discussed, like in 2017, they were arrested, and the first time they were transferred to a court was 1 year after their arrest. So 1 year they didn't see any judge. And in this first hearing, they were all released with an amazing and very strong judgment. The judge mentioned the European Court of Human Rights judgments, and the judge also mentioned that they are lawyers, etc. And 24 hours later, the same judge changed his decision, and they were all arrested again. And such violations went on in the case. You know, there were some so-called witnesses. We never saw them. We never learned their names. And all those witness statements were quite clear, copied and pasted.
After the sham of a trial, the defendants Ebru Timtik, Barkin Timtik, Oya Aslan and Aytak Unsa went on hunger strike on the 3rd of February 2020.
Some of our colleagues decided that if the situation is that difficult for lawyers, this would be much more difficult for the other people, and they decided to start a hunger strike to protest the fair trial violations in Turkey, but not just for themselves, for every other people. And they started, I think they were 10 people who started the hunger strike. And on the 5th of April 2020, Ebru Timtik and Aytaç Ünsal announced that they will not stop, and they will stop getting also vitamins, etc. And in Turkey, we have two different styles of hunger strike. Like one is just, you know, something temporary, but one we call it as death fast. The difference is about the vitamins you are receiving. So in like during the hunger strikes, you can get vitamin B, some other vitamins that can help your body. But of course you don't eat, it's manageable, and mostly hunger strikes can be in rotation or like shorter. But when you call it as death fast, this means that you stop taking all the other substances which are helping your body, and you also say that if there is no outcome here, then I will not stop. And unfortunately, Ebru Timtik passed away in August 2020.
We call them, it's a fascist regime in Turkey, it's still going on, unluckily, but we have to struggle and we have to fight and we have to gain our rights. There is no way until they exile us, I will struggle in Turkey. But I think there is always hope. We always resist. We will resist.
Currently, many of the lawyers working with the Progressive Lawyer Association and other groups are in prison, in exile, or experiencing other forms of repression in their day-to-day life. Fatih gave us some insight in how this affects his work.
I'm working, as I told you, I'm working as a lawyer for an NGO, for the journalists. Mostly our clients are journalists. And think about that, every month I'm traveling all around to Turkey, mostly Kurdistan, Diyarbakir, Şanlıurfa, Gaziantep, and other big cities like Ankara and İzmir, for ridiculous cases. For example, just one operation made by police and just one night, 18-20 journalists can be arrested, and because of nothing. We are going there to the police station for look the file, and actually they are just their social media, and there are some legal activities, protest, and being in the some meeting. Always they say they are crimes for the journalists. You like lawyers, if you follow the some news in the streets, some protest, for example, some riots, and some parliament members visitings, they said, okay, you are affiliated with them, and they are terrorists, and you are journalists or lawyers, and you are close, and that's why also you can be a journalist, and we are arresting you. Being a lawyer in this atmosphere now, always struggling with the ridiculous cases, it's really hard. I can say hard, and you can lost your motivation as a lawyer. It's very easy lost your motivation. And think about the Can Atalay case, for example. The Constitutional Court, the highest court in Turkey, give a verdict about the, they say it's a violation of the some articles of the Constitution, and the first instance and the Supreme Court say no, it's not, we don't agree with you, and that's why he has to be in jail.
Fatma gives another perspective.
Maybe I can explain. I'm not sent to prison, but I have been arrested for 3 times because of we demonstrate as a lawyer. We don't accept the illegal way, for example, governments or police take our friends because of their work as a lawyer. So we make demonstration and we get arrested as well.
Despite the ban, court cases, and constant pressure from the authorities, the Progressive Lawyers Association is still active, as Ceren explains to us.
But we are still quite active, you know, like after the earthquake, for instance, for 6 months, we were in Hatay, one of the most affected city in Turkey. And every week we had 6 lawyers there, so it was quite an ongoing process, but we were not there just to organize everyday life necessities. Of course, our colleagues who were there tried to do whatever they can do, but our main function was again focusing on the torture and focusing on the, the racist attacks in the area, or attacks against the leftist or other autonomous groups who were trying to support the earthquake victims.
Also, the Lawyers for Freedom never stopped working.
How can I say? Absence, but OHT always work as their own works. For example, in 2016, we established an academy, International Human Rights Aegean Academy, and we are continuing and we doing this academy every year. So I think we continued our job and we defend our clients during the curfew as well.
Also internationally, there is a lot of attention for the situation of lawyers in Turkey from the international legal community.
But in CHD, in Progressive Lawyers Association, how we understand the solidarity is always complicated. You know, we do not want to be the one who always receives the solidarity, but we also prefer to be quite active. And this is the reason why we are an important part of the Day of the Endangered Lawyers, which is organized every year on the 24th of January. Like this year, the focus country was Iran and the situation of lawyers there. And in Turkey, we organized demonstrations in 9 different cities, which is one of the... We are always one of the most successful legal group in the world. And also after the loss of Ebru Timtik, we established the International Fair Trial Day and the Ebru Timtik Award. And this day is now supported by very important and prominent human rights groups, legal organizations, including the International Lawyers Association and the Law Society of England and Wales, etc., like many others. And every year we focus on one country that has more significant or systematic fair trial violations, and organize a 1-year work around the country, including a conference. So,
Is it a day? Which is the date?
On the 14th of June.
14th of June. Okay. Mm-hmm. I also asked the interviewees about what they think is their future in Turkey with regards to the repression and if they will be able to continue to practice their profession.
But it's very difficult to, for example, political people, for example, if you are oppressed people, if you are Kurdish political people, it's very hard to left their countries behind and go another country and they are rebuild another life. It's really difficult. I think no one choose this way. If they chance, they try to resist. I believe this, especially I think my friends, all of my lawyers friends, they have to leave. They have to leave and left their countries. So no one want to be an asylum seeker or refugee in another country because all peoples has their families, their how can I say, neighbors, their own life in their country. So I can say that we will resist.
Fatih also gave an interesting answer.
As a lawyer, what can we say? And what can we do? Okay, we do many things. We can still stand with the opponents, students, women, LGBTI people, and all the progressive powers in the Turkey. But if you ask about the rule of law or being a lawyer in Turkey, I think I'm a bit hopeless for last 10 years. But of course, we are still fighting for our clients. As a member of the Progressive Lawyers Association, I can say, like we did for 50 years, because our association founded in 1974 in this difficult climate atmosphere at this time in Turkey. As we did for 50 years, stand with these people, and we will stand with them.
End of yet another episode of Radio VC Mytilini, in which we discussed with Ceren, Fatma and Fatih their view on the problems of being a lawyer in Turkey, especially a lawyer that often finds themselves in conflict with an authoritarian fascist regime that currently is in power in Turkey. All of their answers, even some of them they were not so positive, still were filled with a hopeful spirit that I hope, by listening to this podcast can be shared with many people. This episode was written, produced, recorded, and edited by me, Toby, for VC Mitalini and Radio Helsinki. Thank you very much for listening. You can find all of our episodes on the Cultural Broadcasting Archive of Austria, CBA, and Spotify under VC Mitalini.